100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Although I could die here while I'm trying to light this candle. I always like to have an aromatic candle or some sort of incense going while doing this. Not that I'm ever insensitive, mind you. Let's get that lit, and I always worry that I don't have that little glowing red tip which shows that, yes, it is working. There it goes. Yeah, red tip. Ooh, the aroma getting through. Okay, enough of that silliness. We're here for a 100 Word Stories podcast. 100 Word Stories, weekly challenge, I post the topic, you come up with the stories. And I lost focus there for a moment, but that's what the topic is. Focus. You thought I'd sit. No. How about I share with you the stories that people sent in? First one, Thomas. Yep, he's back to being first. And I don't know how he does it. He writes all these. They come in real quick. Dude's good. You need something written, drop him a line. Here's Thomas.
He couldn't focus his eyes. Tears filled them. He had lost again. Not one match on any of the lottery tickets he bought from Mr. Kim. The kids would just have to make do for another week. No money for peanut butter and jelly. His wife would have to take the bus. And he would have to drink cheap beer and buy generic smokes from Costco. Jerry had his priorities, and he counted on the winnings for early retirement. He thought that if he bought a dozen, he'd up his chances of winning to less than one in 175 million. Diane couldn't focus on her task. She daydreamed about Harold, the fellow she met at the party. Her boss walked by her cubicle and looked in. She couldn't get her attention and noticed that the government report lay unopened on Diane's desk. "Diane, I need that report before the end of the day. Please start on it." Diane put her head down and finished the report before lunch. She texted Harold 3 times during lunch but didn't get an answer. On the way back to the office, she tried texting again, head down, stepping off the curb into a speeding truck. "What is that guy doing with that brownie? I think he's going to focus." "Both of us?" One of my favorite old racist jokes. We could tell this joke over and over at the Klan meeting, and we'd laugh so hard we'd had to wipe our eyes with our hoods. That afternoon, we go over to the shop at the motorcycle mechanic school in Daytona and ask if anyone would like to meet us out in the woods for tonight's meeting. The Klad would tell the joke, and any of the students that laughed particularly hard would get special attention. After I got out of the service, I entered Stanford Research Institute's program on remote viewing. It was part of a classified military program. I didn't concentrate on the strict practice and protocol, so I was washed out of the program. Since I had some other skills that they found useful, I was admitted to the Far Focus program at SRI. We were charged with scanning aerial photographs and scanning the coasts of China, Russia, Cuba, and Malibu Beach from surface ships and submarines. Reported our observations, wrote reports, and used our skills in ways that you might imagine. When I was a junior and member of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, FOCUS, at St. Thomas, I was put in charge of making snacks for evening dorm-friendly Bible studies. My first treat consisted of tubs of full-fat cream cheese covered with pulverized Mentos and served with jalapeno chips and chutney. On cold days, the treat was microwaved for 10 minutes at 90% power. The snack that brought students to my room for the recipe was Funley's Delicious Super Crackers, slathered with anchovy paste, stirred with Nembutal and psychostimulants that my roommate or I could score in town.
Wait, hold on. What was that recipe again? Oh, my God. You know that never mind, I'm doing my laundry. No observations today, just smile and just enjoy. I think today I'm just going to enjoy. I'm not going to be snarky or have rebuttals or comebacks. Just thank you and just be happy, you know? Okay, so for the past 4 weeks I've been wanting to wash my horrible, awful Astros cap. And yes, they are the horrible, awful Astros. And it's soaked with salty sweat. And I've been throwing it in the laundry basket and then forgetting or whatever. But this time, it's in there. It's in the wash. Last week, I had it in the basket. Gina took it out. You know, apparently the fashion, you know, all the rage, is sweaty, horrible stains in your ball cap. No, 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 no. We don't follow fashion. What we do follow, though, is Jeffrey. He's got a story for us. So take it away, Jeffrey. Focus.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here. Another week, another set of stories, this time on the topic of focus. So without further ado, on with the stories. My first story is called Battlefield. The battered Ford Focus accelerated in the highway on-ramp, its frame rattling with increasing urgency as Lydia tried to match the speed of the traffic and find a spot to slip into. Next to her, in the right lane of the highway, was a recent vintage Mercedes E300. Lydia slowed to drop in behind the Mercedes. As she did so, the Mercedes slowed as well. Lydia mentally shrugged and pressed hard on the accelerator, hoping the Focus could summon enough speed from the aged powertrain to overtake the other car. As if on cue, the Mercedes again matched Lydia's speed. What kind of a game is this asshole playing? She thought. What the Mercedes driver didn't know was that Lydia had just lost her job, the latest blow in a lifetime full of them. Frustrated and not caring any longer about the consequences, she veered left, clipping the bumper of the Mercedes, whose surprised driver swerved right, hitting the guardrail. The car flipped over the guardrail and down the embankment. The moral of the story, don't play games with other drivers. You never know who is desperate enough to screw you over. My second story is called Sightlines. Jesse parted his bedroom curtains and peered at the pool next door. Right on schedule, 16-year-old Claire emerged from the back door, wearing her green bikini. She spread a towel on a lounge chair, rubbed suntan lotion over her face, arms, and legs, and settled back in the chair. Jesse grabbed his binoculars and adjusted the focus. He could never work up the courage to talk to Claire, especially if that meant coming into contact with her overprotective ex-marine of a father. But up here, he could indulge in any fantasy he chose. From the corner of his eye, Jesse saw a metallic glint. He swung the binoculars to the left to see Claire's dad, staring intently at Jesse. The glint was the sun reflecting off the older man's service revolver. Jesse quickly closed the curtains and busied himself with a safer fantasy.
Poor Jesse. Hey, speaking of poor Jesse, Breaking Bad is coming to an end tonight. Unless, of course, you count the spinoff and the spinoff of the spinoff. You know what would be a great spinoff? Lenny and Squiggy. That would be cool. Oh, sorry. Or was it Carmine that was a spinoff? I don't remember. Well, Laverne and Shirley were a spinoff of a spinoff of a... I don't know. Anyway, thank you, Jeffrey, for reminding me of that. And indulge your fantasies a little later. Right now, well, actually, you can indulge your fantasies now. Lizzie's here, and she's got story. Isn't that cool? I think that's cool. Well, you better... Oh, sorry. Here's Lizzie and her story. unless there's two. There's one between the lines. I don't know. Let me look. Let me look closely.
Focus was that pesky little magazine whose editor decided to fill its cover for weeks with actor Peter Thompson's private life. So, Peter hated everyone there, including the janitor. He didn't know the man, but that was beside the point. When Peter marched into the building determined to end the charade, the janitor, a veteran, saw him. "Man, look at me," he said, noticing the gun. "Look, stay focused." A catastrophe ensued. The following week, Focus featured the story. "Guard, can I have Focus to read? I want to make sure I'm not on the cover again." Well, he was. This is my story for this week. Check out my blog at lizzygoodcop.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Yay! Hey, wait. They have good reading material in prison? Dang, that's better than the doctor's office or the dentist's office. Or the chiropractor. Actually, you can tell how much of a schlock the medical practitioner is by how recent their publications are. The older the publications, the more they focus on medicine. True fact. Actually, I think under Obamacare, everyone has to have updated magazines. Maybe they pay the magazines. Yeah, subsidies. That'll work. Oh, sorry, where was I? Oh, right. It's time for Richard. Okay. Richard, you need to thank Lizzie. And then, let's hear your stories.
Good morning. Today's stories are brought to you by the numbers 14 and 23, and by the letters Q and F. F is, of course, for focus, and these are my stories. The first is part of the ongoing saga of George, which I have realised doesn't have a title. So if anyone can come up with a title for George's story, please feel free to give it to me. This one's called Focus of Attention.
"Just for once, can we try and focus on the matter in hand?" muttered Jeff. "Let's not get bogged down on the whole nanobots and aliens thing again, please."
He turned his attention back to George.
"We've got a lot of crackpot theories, but nothing conclusive. I don't suppose you've anything new to tell us."
George sighed. "Nothing you probably don't already know, but I'm guessing you know far more than I do. What are you guys doing here for a start?" Jeff laughed. "Ha! We are the, resistance, although heaven knows what we're resisting. And this is Fort Hope." And my second story is called Watch the Birdie. A night at Grandpa's usually ended with the inevitable slideshow, a chaotic assembly of photographs, most of which were barely in focus. Those that were tended to be on a slant, overexposed, or suffered from the inclusion of a stray finger or camera strap strategically placed over the lens. It wasn't unusual for his subjects to be arbitrarily beheaded, and when he did manage to get them in the frame, you could guarantee to see a tree or a post sprouting from their head. We were kind, though. Grandpa loved his photography. I wish he was still around to tell us. And my last offering this week is end titles. Have you ever wondered about all those peculiar jobs that you never come across anywhere, apart from the end titles on movies? You know the ones: focus puller, gaffer, dolly grip, foley artist, colourist, best boy, greensman, wrangler, and all those first and second units, and so on. To be absolutely honest, we make them all up. And when we get bored, we throw a few more into the mix, just because we can. Keep an eye out for Wrench Toggler next time you go to the cinema.
That's one of my latest creations. Who reads the end titles anyway? That's all I have for you this week. You've been listening to a Rotten Orange production, directed by me. Goodbye.
I believe the title of those stories should be The Ongoing Saga of George. Dude, you came up with it yourself. Thank you, Richard. And I would like to say, next week, everyone should thank somebody. That way I don't have to say thank you. I'll just go right into the next story, and you thank the person, then you go into your story. Of course, you have no idea what order they're going to be in, and you're not allowed to thank me. Believe me, this is a thankless job, and I intend to keep it that way. Actually, people are very nice about what they say in their submit when they send stuff in. They say, thank you for doing this. I don't know how you do this. And it's like, well, I just do it. It's habit. You make time for it. I don't have a lawn to mow. I don't have kids to raise. I wake up early. Gina wakes up late. She works late. I work early. We sometimes see each other on the weekends as we watch, well, right now it's college football and football. Because there's no way we're going to watch the last Astros season, game of the season. Andy Pettit played last night, okay? We caught the final two outs. He was amazingly appreciative. God didn't tell him to do anything at that point. And some people get on my case about the tweets about God told Andy Pettit to do this and that. God told Andy to come down to Houston to play for three seasons, then abandon Houston and go back up to the Yankees, then told him not to retire, told him to retire. Dude, at some point you got to think for yourself. I know, he's supposedly a nice guy and all that, but he's a mercenary. If he really cared about his hometown, he would have played down here. Of course, he would have sucked and he wouldn't be all-star quality, but still, you know? Although, the way things are now, it's like the farm system consists of Animal Farm, the Quantico Barty Farm, and a wind farm, I think, and two funny farms. Speaking of the funny farm, oh, wait, I gotta get the laundry. While I go get the laundry, here's Tom.
Aloni people, Tom here, and I've got three stories tonight. The first story is called Keep Your Wheel on the Grindstone and Your Nose to the Shoulder. Is a story a story if it's just a personal reflection? Is it cheating if you are the protagonist, narrator, and the chorus all in one? The reason I ask, since the topic is focus, I wanted to talk a bit about my ADD. Look, over there, the cats are chewing on the keyboard cable. Sorry, back to topic. Should not that be pronounced topic? Of course you'd have to have considerably dirty feet. Not like King Charles, who had incredibly large feet. 12 inches long. He must have been a serious Sasquatch. Imagine the British royal bloodline hiding in the woods outside of Portland. That would explain so much. Yes. Story 2. Light amplification by simulated emissions of radiation. Larry needed a flawed industrial ruby. At a penny on the dollar, he still had to come up with $100. Being the industrious type, he opened an all-you-can-eat salted peanut stand next to his lemonade stand. All the neighbors stopped by, everyone except Timmy, who just tooled by in a Schwinn, and yelled, "Geek!" Due to a mislabeling, Larry actually got a flawless ruby the size of his fist. He hooked it up and looked around for a target. "Timmy," he chortled. Threw the switch. No more Timmy. Well, no more Timmy's house. And most of Greater Detroit. And the last story. A continuation of a well-defined relationship. Part 7,856. Before Bannister had a chance to make for the door or inquire about compensation for the position of personal protector, the Bluefoot in Wynn's Pradas went off. Yes, No, now. When moved to the window, look down into the street. Thousands of flashes of light blinked on and off. The Pastafarians have the prophet, and they're making for the square. Focus time, Mr. Coachman. 10K plus X. Deal, yelled Bannister over his shoulder as he made for the lobby, with Dinomod in tow. Are you part of the package? At 10K a week, you can surely afford a hired hand.
Topic, do you know what movie that quote comes from? If you do, put it in the comments. If you don't, well, I'll just assume none of you put things in the comments. Every week, I say something like that. And people do put stuff in the comments, but usually not what I expect. You have any recipes out there? I don't know. Tom, how about you? Well, thank you for the stories and the ADD and what? Oh, okay. I just got the laundry put in the dryer. I'm putting everything into one dryer now. That's 5 loads in one dryer. So it should explode. Or catch fire. Either one. I don't mind. It'll get dry. Next up, Muncie? Okay, Muncie's back. I think this is the end of the major! So we'll find out next week what he's come up with. But until then, we're all major, major. Yes, that's a good donkey.
Hello, Major! Hi! Oh, Zod. I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. Okay. By the time you hear this, Breaking Bad will be over. And I won't know who I am anymore. What do I believe in? I mean, I loved Dexter, but Dexter had the decency to suck for most of its last 2 seasons, so I wouldn't miss it too badly once it was gone. No more Breaking Bad? What am I supposed to do? Cook meth? Wait, that's it! No, that sounds horrible. I know nothing about chemistry. I would be awful at cooking meth. Focus, by Christopher Monroe. I was never focused. Never sat at the front of the class, hanging on every word, furiously scribbling notes, lost in concentration. In fact, concentration in general was tough for me. I suppose today I'd be diagnosed and medicated, but at the time there was no diagnosis to make. It wasn't considered a disease yet. I was just an especially energetic kid, brimming with ideas that flowed too fast to keep track of, too fascinated by the world to slow down for even a moment. Deep down, I'm still that person, though I'm older now. And it served me well. Flash fiction at ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com. Broken Escalator still available. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. I hope you've enjoyed your month as the Major, Major. And remember, if any of you know about chemistry, contact me. Because the fact that I don't know how to cook meth at all doesn't mean I wouldn't be a good meth cook. I'll miss you, Breaking Bad. Break bad us. Everyone.
Did you know that everything Wolfgang Puck makes is just an attempt to make meth, but it winds up as, you know, some sort of amazing pasta dish or incredible pizza? California Pizza Kitchen was supposed to be California Meth House until someone said, "Hey, man, my teeth aren't falling out. I'm not twitching. And this is really good pizza." And he was like, "What? Is this pizza? Ah, crap. I was trying to make meth." The prices are the same, but still. Oh, thank you, Muncie. And good luck on the cooking of meth. I think Julia Child, when she made The Joy of Cooking, in the first edition, they had How to Make Meth. And then that movie, Julia and Julia or whatever, Me and Julia, the deleted scenes? Yeah, that's... Let's move on, shall we? Who's next? Spate. Oh, Spate's back. Cool. Oh, I was wondering if you would return. Because we like it when people return. Because that's good. That means you're being creative and trying things. And if you don't return, I hope it means that you haven't hung up your pen or typewriter or whatever, gimp suit that you wear while writing. Whatever it is, I hope that people still write, even though they're not here anymore. They're probably somewhere else. But still, keep writing. Keep being creative. Keep creating things. Look at the world in different ways. No, I did not hit mute for that. Wow. I'm never going to be over this, but that's, we won't talk about that. What we will talk about is Spate and the following story.
Hey, this is Spate. My story this week is called Forehead Play for Guys, and here it is. They grew a nose on this guy's forehead in China to replace his damaged one. I read about it on the internet, so it must be true. They even had pictures. Makes you wonder what other appendages they can grow on one's forehead. How about a penis? That would give literal meaning to the term dickhead. Can you imagine talking to a female coworker and all through the conversation she would be trying not to stare at the penis growing out of your forehead, leaving you completely free to focus on her breasts? Workplace sensitivity training sabotaged by one dickhead.
Ha ha ha! Where do I sign up? For the nose, honestly. Oh, thank you, Spate. Speaking of workplace sensitivity, I need to remind people that we are a sensitive podcast here. That's why we put in the exclusive tag, so exclusive. No. Exclusive tag. Yeah, it is an exclusive crowd. No, explicit. We put in the explicit tag so that there is no need to censor yourself. Just go out, say anything, whatever. Well, not anything. I mean, my mom listens. No, my mom actually doesn't listen to this. And your mother doesn't either. And if your mother does, they shouldn't. Nobody's mother should listen to this. It's nobody's Mother's Day. Speaking of which, Serendipity has a story for us. Serendipity, tell us about your mom.
As I slowly regained consciousness, my senses returned, and I became aware of blurred figures and bright lights surrounding me. I tried hard to focus, but the world I saw remained resolutely mushy and soft. I heard a voice. Did it work? Yes, I responded. It worked perfectly. Then heard cheering and applause. The first transplant of a human consciousness into a computer had been a complete success. Except for my vision. It was still rotten. I tried to focus once more. And then it hit me. You could have at least thought to give me HD graphics, I complained.
Oh, you get all the graphics you want here on the 100 Word Stories podcast, Serendipity, so that you can see the giant sign that says thank you. It's a sign, really. A billboard. I rented it. What? Oh, we've got Zachman? Okay. Let's clear the decks and be ready for the arrival of Zachman. Oh, he's already here. Okay, well, I'll just hit play.
My wife went on mini vacation with coworker instead of me, since my son did not want to skip school and required a chauffeur. Alex loved her little Ford so much, she wanted to start a focus group Facebook fan page. Since my wife made me print out directions, she thought she didn't need to bring the TomTom. Also, she and friend both had smartphones with navigation apps. Smartphones don't work consistently in mountains. Alex got lost so many times on the return trip that she could not focus. This was no doubt a trip from which fond memories spring.
Fond memories spring. My favorite time of year. Isn't it your favorite time, Sackman? Thank you. Thank you for those fond memories. Now, we got a story in from... what was their name again? Hold on. I want to check. We got one from somebody new. Peter sent one in. And it's a good story, and I put it up in the show notes up there at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. The problem is he didn't send a recording. So it's a good one, and you should read it, and you should read it aloud. But I won't. I'm not reading people's stories aloud. I'm reading, you know, mine. You don't want me to read yours. I can't do it right. I can't read it the way you would want it read. And if you say, no, that's fine, that's all right, you aren't living up to your role as an artist. You're not expressing yourself. You need to express yourself. I can't paint the picture that is in your mind. I don't read minds. I don't take the soul from others. I want others to express their souls. It's not for me. I am not your creator. I am not your manager. I am not your outlet. I am merely the canvas upon which you can paint, which gets kind of messy. And do you know how hard it is to scrub off that paint sometimes? Anyway. But thank you, Peter, and hopefully next week you will record your story. And hopefully not just send an angry email saying, I slaved over this for 100 hours. I quit my job. I gave up my dream of joining the circus. Your dream was joining the circus? You know whose dream it is of joining the circus? Sing. Because I think this wraps it up. I think this racks up the Lakshmi plot. Part 7. And, do we want to sing? Do we want to mash them all into one file? Do you want me to go ahead and do that at some point? You know, just mash it? Mash it, I tell you? And then we could, you know, post it up and just say, the Lakshmi plot. And then, you know, maybe it'll get a TV show. Now that Breaking Bad is gone, we need the Lakshmi plot. And it'll be, sing, you know, up there, big letters. Or big numbers, mashed together to make letters. I don't know, just like numbers did.
The Lakshmi Plot, Part 7, by Chris Mooney Singh. Bim's feet squelched into silt, but he managed to tie up the boat to a mangrove branch while the shaman focused and leapt deftly to a drier patch. Soon he was disappearing up the overgrown trail, and Bim quickly cleaned off his feet and followed. His mask kept riding up the back, and he had to pause to tighten the band across his forehead. Meanwhile, the shaman was moving fast through terrain he seemed to know very well. Eventually, some distance in, the path opened to a wall of intertwined trees with a low entrance hole in the hedge growth. The shaman bobbed and disappeared within. With some trepidation, Bim followed, shuffling on his knees and hands. The shaman's wiry frame fitted better than Bim's broader body, and as he struggled, his mask strap caught on the overhang and was ripped off, dangling behind like a trophy. The space was too tight to reach back for it, and Bim was forced to crawl even lower to the dirt. It was then he smelt the rankness of the place, saw multiple pug marks beneath him. Strangely familiar, he realized the shaman had led him down the crawl hole of a tiger's den. The only way out was ahead, and eventually he emerged unmasked. The shaman had disappeared. Getting up, he was astonished to see ruins of a temple on the other side of the clearing. It too was deeply entwined in tree roots, and directly ahead was a stone head wedged in the tangle. The temple had a flat roof supported by thick stone pillars. This was history's proof of an untouched antiquity still standing that Bim had only read about in books. He realized he must be one of the few ever to have seen it. Then his gut tightened. The tiger emerged on the raised stone. It stood comfortably like a Raja on the roof of his palace, eyeing Bim as his rightful next meal, and although he could have leapt on him from that distance, he stood his ground as Bim, quite trapped, also did. They considered each other. Bim felt the same familiarity he had experienced riding the tiger god in his vision, and somehow felt the beast also acknowledged this too. Bim looked at the mottled markings, dark brown on orange. The tiger was like an old world chieftain wearing ceremonial tattoos from head to tail. This warrior bearing was worthy of singular respect. This was the lair, the last bastion of the beast. Whether demonic or heroic, the name Dakshin Rai now resonated deeply in the young man's mind that he heard as the voice of a woman singing. Was it an inner sound? Or was it an outer one coming from the temple stones? It didn't matter. He didn't need to know more, merely to reverence it. The tiger continued to stand up, eyeing him. He, the young Shah Jungli, guardian brother of Bono Bibi. Their triumvirate alliance ruled this domain. Now Bim understood his newly growing role he'd been slowly led towards. He heard a sound behind him. It was the shaman. For a moment he felt warm relief as the old man stood against his shoulder, then slowly made his way to the temple. With tiger above, he threw down his mask before the god face in the root tangle, then turned. For the first time ever, Bim Das felt the shaman's smiling acceptance. It was a benediction, and Bim folded his hands with grateful acceptance. Then the shaman stepped, knelt, and exposed his back and nape. The tiger leapt down, grabbed, and returned with the broken neck offering in his jaws. It is not good to witness the body of a fellow human dropped like a broken doll, ready to be ripped apart from the rump. It was time to leave the tiger palace the shaman had brought him to at the cost of his own life. A gift demands a gift, and feeling now the burden of a new responsibility, Bim backed away, turned, and entered the crawl space once more. Going seemed easier than coming. Soon he rescued the ghost mask from the overhang, exited the hedge, and followed the narrow path back to the boat. The tiger roared in the distance. Been listening to The Lakshmi Plot by Chris Mooney Singh, Part 8, next week, and completion.
Wait, there's a Part 8? Oh, Lord. Oh, it's just everything's going to be Lakshmi now. There's going to be t-shirts and buttons and hats and flamethrowers and everywhere. And what? The microphone's on? Oh, shit. Hi! Oh, thank you, Singh. And I look forward to Part 8 next week. So that means I don't need to put them... Well, I can start putting them together and then just drop that in and just like, the Lakshmi... We could make it a .com or a .web. I hear .boston's available. Although I'm not sure what it would be. I bet you that there are like 1,000 New Yorkers trying to register fuck Boston. One of them's probably... Roger Clemens. He's a New Yorker in my book, I'm telling you. You know, comes down here to Mercenary for 2 seasons or 3 or whatever it was. Yeah. What? Oh, Cliff is up? Okay. Here's Cliff and his stories. And is he a monkey of some sort yet? Who are the monkeys now? I can't remember.
Hello, children. Today we're going to talk about focus. Focus is what lets us concentrate on one thing. Sometimes we get distracted and lose our focus. One way to keep our focus is a reward. For instance, I have a story to write, so I promised myself a cookie when the story is done. A cookie is a good reward because I like cookies, and I like the little bakery where I'll buy it, and I like the pretty blonde that works there. She flirts with me, and I think she likes me, and... Oh, the story can wait. We sat in a circle and calmed our spirits. Our visualization guide, an earthy, nature-loving man named Sienna, coached us as we did. "Empty your minds and focus all of your energy," he said. The air around the circle was electric with tension. Our goal was realization, the mystical creation of a material object through sheer force of desire and willpower. We had come close several times, but something always broke our focus and stopped us. Suddenly, there was a blinding light, and a container of deodorant appeared in the circle. "Fine," Sienna said. "I can take a hint." And here's my last story on focus, and I'd like to thank my neighbor who is now mowing his yard. The commercials were blurry, but who really pays attention to them anyway? The previews were blurry, but I figured the idiot up in the projection booth didn't much care, and frankly, neither did I. All of the new movies coming out were either remakes of old TV shows, dumb sequels to dumber movies, or had Nicolas Cage in them. I didn't care about them anyway. But when the feature started and was a blurry mess, I shouted angrily to the nose picker upstairs, "Focus, you moron!" That's when my wife handed me my glasses and told me to shut up.
Thank you, the man who would be king, otherwise known as Cliff. Oh, wait, I need to go to this site, and, yeah, right. Huh, okay, I'm just reading something here. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, what? Okay, I should... Oh, I shouldn't be reading websites while... Never mind. Okay, I should just, here, hold on. And there, and... Somebody said tempest in a teacup. I like to say tempest in a toilet. What do you like to say? Tempest in a what? Tempest in an arcade? Right. Oh, here's Danny. You're going to like this one. I say that about everybody's story. I never say, oh, this one's going to suck, because that would be rude. I wait till the microphone's off.
Look at that, we're recording again. Oh, well, again, meaning that, this is like the third or fourth time. I gotta admit, I really suck at this recording stuff, so I usually screw it up at least three or four times, and then I try, like... it's working out. Let's just get this over with. It's Weekly Challenge 388. Focus. My name is Danny Dwyer. Yeah, hello, hello. Let's get this going. My friend Jamie recently stated on Facebook, I like to randomly ask people if they ever heard the song Hocus Pocus by Focus. Not because I like the song or the band. 100% only because I get a kick out of saying Hocus Pocus by Focus. Which gave me this idea. What if there was a contest that I invented within my sad yet demented mind where we all scream Focus on Hocus Pocus by Focus, Bob Mocus, as fast as possible 100 times in a row. And the winner gets nothing. Now Focus. Who the hell is Bob Mocus and who cares?
You know, I treat recording like pulling a bandage off quickly, off of somebody else's arm, hairy, hairy arm, or leg, or eyebrow, or somewhere, or nose. Oh, nose hair is bad. Although, how you get a bandage up there, I don't know. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Danny. And I do recordings multiple times. I record like 5 or 6 times. Some of you listen to my audio booths on my Twitter feed. God help you. I put the stuff up there, and it's like, okay. 100-word stories, though, on Twitter is just for the 100-word story stuff. My stuff is for the crazy crap, which you probably don't agree with or even don't want to know. But 100-word stories is the one, is the Twitter. I barely put anything up there. The is full of crap one, oh, that's, you don't, no. But Google Plus apparently is huge. Facebook is huge. It's all out there in various places. Go to the website. There are links to everything, I think. And if there aren't, thank goodness. What? Oh, Norval Joe. Okay, he's here. All right, I'll get his story up. But thank you, Danny, for... don't ever get too much in your own head. Just let it rip. Let it rip, man. Here's Norval Joe in his story, and I think it's the return of one of my favorite characters.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 388 with a prompt of focus. Some of you may have heard or seen on my Facebook where I said I've actually submitted my first novel for rejection by an actual paper publisher. So it's a big step for me. I decided, well, if I'm going to do that, I should take the next step of, what is it, legitimacy. I'm actually getting a .com website. Can you imagine what it would be called? Of course, NorvalJoe.com. So, if you want to read my blog, sooner or later, it'll be there. I'm still trying to figure out how to get it all set up, but that is where I am. So here's my story. Her hand shook as she thumbed the safety on her rifle. I've got to focus, she hissed through her gritted teeth. Her eye to the scope, she turned the bezel, bringing the target into clarity. 300 meters away, the senator held hands across a picnic table with a young woman. Unaware, crosshairs marked his temple. Well, Senator, cheating on me with a college intern, I vote no, his wife said, squeezing the trigger. Nothing happened. Sticky white paper glued the trigger in place. I veto that vote, Flypaper Boy said as he wrapped the woman in a large sheet of paper. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. No wiener dogs, no wiener dogs, no wiener dogs.
NorvalJoe.com. Oh, congratulations, Philip. See, I've actually called you Philip. And that's great. And I hope that you properly, you know, credit me for inspiring you. Even if I didn't, I'm demanding it. I want my picture on the cover. About the author should be on the back flap. About me should be on the front flap, of course. You should dedicate it to me, the foreword. You should write about me. And I think I'll settle for that. No, congratulations, man. That's really cool. And I hope everybody is taking those steps. But when you leave me in the dust, make sure that the dust has the aroma of lavender, because I like lavender. Oh, NaNoWriMo is coming up, too. And as I always do, I'm not going to do NaNoWriMo. And those of you who are, I mean, I'm going to encourage you, but I'm also going to encourage you to still do 100-word stories, because it's only 400 fucking words. You're trying to shit out 50,000, and you can't squeeze another 400? What the hell is wrong with you? Oh, I can shit out 50,000 words that suck, but, you know, to get another 400 in 100 doses, it's just too hard. Oh, sorry. No, I've done NaNoWriMo before. I don't like it. Because even though what I wind up producing is little chunks that wind up becoming stories. I wrote two this morning thinking about NaNoWriMo, and it's like, oh, those are 100-word stories. This is just my shtick. This is what I do. Henny Youngman stuck to one-liners. It wasn't like he, you know, in his 80s started, you know, jumping on Jerry Seinfeld's territory. You know what bothers me? My wife. You know, that kind of thing. You know, no. No, that's Henny Youngman. Henny Youngman did the one-liners and the, you know, the setup and the punchline and not long rambling stories like Red Skeleton. He stuck to his stuff. It's just, I'm stuck with it. It's how my mind works. Or doesn't, I suppose. Or, shut up! Play the next story. Justin's here, he's finally on time. He's tired, but you know what? That just means that he put a lot of effort into it. So, here's Justin, his story. Enjoy.
Space Turtle. Justin Lomaster here with my 100-word story for the topic of... You've been paying attention, you've been focusing on it this whole time. You should know what the topic is. Unlike last belated week, this one's back on to games. The enemy is coming. I grip my weapon, poised to strike. Relentlessly, the enemy will attack. Rising from the ground, first here, then there. Their tactics seem random. Hesitate one moment, and it's too late. Years ago, my father fought them. He survived to tell the tale and teach me the ways of a warrior. How to hold the weapon, how to strike without hesitation or mercy. There it is. I hear them coming from below. I see one rise up, mocking eyes and a tittering giggle. I swing my hammer with alacrity and whack my first mole.
Thank you, Justin. I used to play Whack-A-Mole, but I did it a little differently. It was, well, let's just say it was rather disgusting, and the word off was in there, and come to your own conclusions. Oh, God, that's an even worse pun. How about I just step back and let Planet Z... Yeah, okay, so Planet Z is ready, and looks like he's stealing out of my emails. He might work for Google, I'm not sure, or the NSA. So here we go with Planet Z.
I'm not going to ride my bike ever again. I can't decide if I'm more sick of walking to the bus stop or the awful people on the bus itself. So I need a car. But I don't want anything fancy or expensive, because it's only 2 miles to get to work, and all the shopping I need to do is along the way and back. I looked at a Ford Focus, which isn't much more than a skateboard with a lawnmower engine and seatbelts. As long as it's got air conditioning and airbags, I'll take it.
Well, that's it for this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast, Weekly Challenge. I think it's number 388. Well, whatever it is, the topic was focus, and I hope you enjoyed. If you didn't, well, send in a story next week. Show us up. The topic is going to be deception, so you have a week to get it in, although if you're a little late, you can throw it in afterwards. So, and if you're a little late this week on the focus of, focus? Shows that I've lost focus. I should just wrap this thing up. Thank you, everyone, for listening, being a part of it, sitting on the sidelines, preparing your NaNoWriMo victory speeches, whatever. And, I'll see you all next week. Until then, as always, keep it brief.